There we go. I call this meeting to order. Councilor Chipman, would you please lead us in the flag salute? Ms. Julie, will you please call roll?
Councilmember Wells? Councilmember Coker?
Present.
Councilmember Onslow?
Here.
Councilmember Chipman?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Akeley?
Here.
Mayor Lindsay?
Here. Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda?
No late changes, Mayor.
Thank you. This evening, we have a proclamation for Blood Donor Month. And I will read it for you. Whereas the nation is experiencing the worst blood shortage in over a decade, and the local blood supply has hit emergency levels. If the blood supply does not stabilize soon, life-saving blood may not be available for some patients when it is needed. And whereas blood centers like Red Cross and Bloodworks Northwest continue to face a decline in donor turnout, blood drive cancellations, and staffing challenges, and whereas the mission of the American Red Cross is to prevent and alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers and generosity of donors. As part of this mission, the Red Cross supplies about 40% of the nation's blood. And whereas Bloodworks Northwest, a local nonprofit community-based organization founded in 1944, provides a life-saving blood supply to 95% of hospitals in the Pacific Northwest. And whereas a 16-year-old resident of Ridgefield, Joshua, is in need of blood donors. He was diagnosed with an aggressive bone cancer in September of 2021. He is undergoing surgery and intensive chemotherapy. And whereas the city of Ridgefield is partnering with Bloodworks Northwest to provide a pop-up blood donation center at the Ridgefield Outdoor Recreation Complex on February 24th through 25th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. to support Joshua and patients like him. Donations can be made on behalf of Joshua by providing the group code BELL, B-E-L-L. Now, therefore, I, Jennifer Lindsay, Mayor of the City of Ridgefield, do hereby proclaim March 2022 as Ridgefield Blood Donor Month and encourage all its residents to give back by donating, volunteering, or giving blood. This life-saving work is vital to strengthening our community's resilience. Dated this 24th day of February, 2022. So with us this evening, we have Mary Jane Rose with the American Red Cross to receive the proclamation. Would you like to come up and grab it and say a few words? Thank you. Jane.
And I would like to thank her personally and the Red Cross personally for all the work that they've done because they've saved two of my family's lives. So thank you very much. We appreciate your work.
Thank you. And with us this evening, we also have Lauren Reagan with Bloodworks Northwest. Would you like to say a few words as well?
I did have a question, and that is, what is the, between either one of you, what is the age limit for giving blood?
There is no age limit.
If you're still walking, it's okay. Huh?
So if you have any questions as far as any of your personal medications, you can visit our website at bloodworksnw.org. We have a nurse's hotline, so they can go through your personal history, any medications that you're on. The FDA did loosen restrictions that were, in the past when it regards to travel or living overseas in the 80s. You can visit our website again to see all those updates that were made in July of 2020. So if you may have been disqualified in the past, you may be eligible today to donate.
Yes, I was disqualified because I was in an area that was not acceptable to Red Cross and the Blood Works. But recently, I just thought, wonder what it is, because age just keeps grinding.
We have plenty of donors that are well into their 80s that come and visit us at our Vancouver 6th location.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
how many donors did you have today?
I believe we had a little over 30.
That's wonderful.
There was it did delay
that's
a
right.
bit, but we expect a little over 40 tomorrow.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for all the work that both of you do for our community. It's extremely vital and important. Thank you for being here tonight. All right. At this time, we have time on the agenda for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not specific to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 for raise hand and press star 6 to mute unmute. Please state your name and limit comments to 3 minutes. And it looks like we have one person joining us remotely who would like to make a comment this evening. Patricia Thompson, are you with us? Can you hear us?
Good evening. Yes, I am.
Okay, great. We can hear you and you have 3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, good evening. I just have a couple quick comments. And the first is I would like to thank the City Council for approving a code of ethics for the City Council at the last City Council meeting. And secondly, I'd like to give a huge thank you to all the folks in our community, including City Council members that volunteer their time through the many different organizations in the City of Ridgefield. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patricia.
And that's it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to give public comment at this time? Seeing that there is no one in person or joining us remotely, we will move on. To the consent agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So
moved. I would move to accept the consent agenda as published.
I'll second it.
Okay. I've got a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. All right. This evening, we have a presentation from the Port of Ridgefield. Randy Mueller, would you like to come on up to the podium and give us an update?
Sure. Thank you very much. Randy Mueller, CEO of the Port of Ridgefield. Spoiler alert, today I will open and close with quotes from a community legend, the late Roy Randall. One thing that Roy always said was, figure out what you want and then go out and get it. To date, when it comes to the Ridgefield waterfront, our community has done a lot of great work figuring out what we want. Our combined port and city delegation spent days in a van touring waterfronts across Puget Sound and British Columbia. I'm sure Councilmember Onslow fondly remembers that van trip. We spent lots of time developing plans with a team of consultants and years in negotiating a development agreement and finally getting the subdivision approval from the City of Ridgefield. We worked together for years jointly authoring a new waterfront mixed-use district in the development code, and we created view corridor protections for the views of the refuge and Lake River for the residents living uphill. We did tons of public involvement work online and in person, and we worked with the Planning Commission, City staff, and City Council. But that was 7 years ago. So, of course, we'll need to revisit and refresh all those plans as we move ahead at the port with the plans for the Ridgefield waterfront. Look forward to doing that with you and all the other partners of the city. Figure out what you want, go out and get it. Now, right now, at this point, the Port of Ridgefield, we're really entering the go out and get it phase. That's what we're doing now. The potential grant funding environment for our community's infrastructure and our waterfront park is the best it's ever been. We've seen the Port of Kamloops-Washougal, the Port of Kalama, and the City of Vancouver do it with their waterfronts. Now it's our turn. After decades of work, the cleaned-up Ridgefield waterfront is a blank canvas. With the rail overpass complete, the front door to the waterfront is finally wide open. And on the water side, the dredging of the mouth of Lake River will give us the best access to Columbia River boaters in decades. Our staff has set a goal to put in for permits this year, and we'd like to start some of the construction work next summer, if possible. Port and city staff are meeting with outside partners interested in building improved kayak launch facilities. And immediate improvements have already begun with better signage and improved access controls for safety and security. But there's more than just the waterfront that's in the works. Just in the time period since January 1st, we've launched IT3 as a new nonprofit workforce training program for advanced manufacturing. And we're building them a pilot project facility this summer, thanks to a state legislative appropriation. Next door to them in one of our new Wisdom Ridge buildings, the Ridgefield School District just opened their two newest facilities, Wisdom Ridge Academy and Innovation Ridge CAPS, the Center for Advanced Professional Studies. Having these two operations side by side in our new building is fantastic, both for our kids and for our community. And if that wasn't exciting enough, our Port Commission just approved a lease in our second new building at Wisdom Ridge for BTB Solutions, a robotics company that exemplifies just the kind of leading-edge technology firm that we want to attract to our community. With the industrial park nearly full, our Discovery Ridge development almost fully developed, and our Wisdom Ridge buildings almost fully leased up, what is next? Stay tuned. And our phase one fiber backbone project is finally going out to bid very soon for construction this summer. On a different note, I'm about halfway through the plan for my first 90 days on the job. I've met with about half of the more than 100 people on the list, including many of the people in this room. Thank you for your time. In the typical Ridgefield way, they have all been incredibly helpful and very supportive of the work of our organization. I'd like to especially acknowledge City Manager Steve Stewart for all his help. He laughs now in every meeting we have when I take out my lengthy list of questions to ask Steve. And then he patiently helps me work down through the list. You couldn't have a more capable city manager, and I couldn't have a better partner in doing all of this work for our constituents. And there is a lot of that work ahead of us. My leadership style may involve more of a sense of urgency than what you're used to seeing, but I believe that you and all the other constituents of the Port District will appreciate the results. I want to close with this. Commissioner Roy Randall may be best remembered for his words of encouragement to all of the young athletes he ever coached. He told them to GBED, get better every day. Right now at the Port of Ridgefield, that is what we're doing. We are getting better every day. Mayor Lindsay and council members, thank you for your time. I would love to answer any questions you may have about the port.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. Council, are there any questions? Oh, seriously? I guess we've already met with you, so we've already had our questions answered.
We have all talked a lot already.
I don't have any questions now, but I always have a few and always have some suggestions, so I will be in touch all the time.
Thank you. And just so you know, my the intention is going to be to make myself available to city staff to, as your agendas permit, you know, maybe something like quarterly or periodically, just come in and give you a short briefing on what's going on and make myself available for questions. So we'll be seeing more.
Councilor Akeley, or Mayor Pro Tem Akeley, pardon.
I don't have a question. I just want to let some of the general public know that the port meetings are very open. I go to all of them, and we're allowed to ask questions after the meeting. There's a period of public comment and questions and back and forth. So I would encourage anybody, if you think of a question, to go to the meetings because the port has been very transparent in answering those. Thank you, Randy.
Anyone else? All right, I guess we're going to let you off the hook easy tonight, but you've left us, you know, with this collaborative environment, and I'm sure that we will be having you back and be peppering you with the questions at a future date. So thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you.
All right. The next item on our agenda is a motion. It's approval of an interagency agreement between the City of Ridgefield and the City of La Center relating to law enforcement services. Chief Brooks.
Good morning, Council and citizens. So I'm here to talk about an agreement that we have developed between the City of Ridgefield and the City of La Center. By way of a little bit of background, the City of La Center has suffered a lot of losses with regard to their law enforcement coverage. Currently, the City of La Center has one sergeant and two officers on their police force. However, one of those officers has been on a year-long military leave. So effectively, they have one sergeant and one officer. Those two people that are left remaining have been working the day shift. And so they've been able to cover La Center between the two of them pretty much during the day, leaving the night open. This agreement between the City of Ridgefield and the City of La Center would allow Ridgefield officers to work in La Center on overtime if they would choose to. We're not forcing anybody to go over there and work on overtime. This is if they would like to sign up for that overtime. And the agreement covers the costs of the payment for the officers, and it covers the cost of their overhead, things like cost of vehicles and all the ancillary costs associated with a person doing any job in the city. And so that is what the agreement covers. And so this is pretty commonplace for law enforcement to help each other out. This situation is unique, though, because of the situation that La Center has found itself in currently. And I know they're working to address it, so this is a stopgap measure. I know that La Center has agreed to the agreement as written thus far, and so at this time, I'm happy to answer any questions, but would love to see a motion to allow the city manager to enter into this agreement with the City of La Center.
Thank you, Chief Brooks. Council, do we have any questions of Chief Brooks? Councilor Walsh?
Yes, Chief, I've got two questions. You said they can go there on overtime. Do they have to go for a full shift, a full 8 hours? Is it a request of the mayor? Is it open-ended? What's kind of a little bit of the parameters?
Certainly. So let me get into the weeds a little bit. What happens is the City of La Center will send us a list of their open times, where they need coverage. And between the City of Ridgefield, the City of Washougal, the Clark County Sheriff's Office, different officers will sign up for shifts if they would like to cover them. If the officer is only available for a portion of the shift, the City of La Center would rather have the whole shift covered, but if they can get 6 hours of coverage, they would rather have 6 hours of coverage than no hours of coverage.
Correct. Okay.
Does that get to your question?
That answers my question. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent.
Are there any other questions from Council?
I have one question.
Counselor
As Coker? I was reading through, I just want to clarify or confirm that I understand this right. The agreement itself is kind of indefinite, but either party can terminate at any time. Is that?
That is correct.
That correctly? Okay.
Any other questions? I had a question, Chief. You mentioned the City of Washougal is also, when you were discussing the arrangement for signing up for shifts, how many different cities are participating in this type of interlocal agreement with La Center?
Currently, it's primarily Ridgefield, Washougal, and the Clark County Sheriff's Department that are the primary participants.
Okay, thank you. Is there any further discussion? I would accept a motion at this time.
I move to approve the interagency agreement between the City of La Center and the City of Ridgefield relating to law enforcement services and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the interagency agreement between the City of La Center and the City of Ridgefield relating to law enforcement services and to authorize the city manager to sign the agreement. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Council. Next item on the agenda, approval of downtown tree selection. And I'm going to give Ms. Howell just a second to swap seats with Chief. All right.
Thank you, Mayor. All right. Hi, I'm Brenda Howell, City Engineer for the City of Ridgefield. So I believe we have some visual aids for the tree selection. We are looking to place 21 trees in the empty tree wells in downtown Ridgefield. There were three native trees chosen to put out in Ridgefield Roundtable for selection by the community. These trees, the first one showing here is the cascara. All three trees that were put out are native, and the mature heights are 25 to 30 feet. The cascara is small. Has small green white flowers, dark green leaves in the growing season, and in the autumn, the leaves turn yellow, then gold. The next tree, next slide please, is the Douglas Hawthorn. It has glossy green leaves that turn orange, yellow, or red, clusters of flowers in the spring. Next slide.
What's the color of the flowers?
Let me go back.
Creamy white, sorry.
Yeah, they're green white, or they're white flowers. Then the third one is the Eddie's White Wonder Dogwood. Has dark green leaves that turn red in the fall. Has large white flowers in the spring, and small orange and red fruit. So these were all put out to Ridgefield Roundtable to gather community input. Next slide, please. And you'll see that the Eddie's White Wonder Dogwood was the overwhelming favorite by about 80%. Or, pardon me, 73%. So the city staff also reached out to 10 nurseries in Oregon and Washington to check for availability and cost. 2 to 3 inch caliber trees were what we were looking for. And that caliber tree is hard to get on short lead times. Ideally, to get 21 2 to 3 caliber trees, you would need to order them in the spring for fall planting. However, we did find some. For the number one choice, the dogwood, we found 1 to 1.25 inch caliber trees. They range about $250 per tree. We could get those. We need about a week lead time to get those in. The second choice, the cascara, it's about $300 a tree, and we could possibly get 2-inch caliber. We're waiting on confirmation to see if we could get the full quantity in 2-inch caliber. And the third choice, the Douglas Hawthorn, $220 a tree. We can get 1.75 to 2-inch caliper trees. We would have to order them by tomorrow. They're holding them for us. So that is the summary of the choices and the availability. And we're looking for a motion from City Council to approve a species of tree and to provide guidance on ordering and obtaining the trees.
Council, do we have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just would prefer white because all the rest of them are white, and they're a different tree. But when we bought them about 10 years ago, that's the ones that were suggested. So, and they weren't supposed to dig up the sidewalks, but they do. And so I would go with Eddie's White Wonder Dogwood because it is white and it would match the other trees that we have on the Pioneer and Main. So, and this is something that I think is needed to be done, and I've pushed for it many years, and I'm so glad to see it happening. And so far the city has done just a fabulous job of removing the trees that we had and preparing the area where we are going to plant them in a really great, it looks great. I think it's going to be a really good, a good new thing that happens in downtown Ridgefield.
Councilor Chipman?
So I'd like to make a motion then. All right.
Are there any further, Councilor Coker?
Yep, I'm also a fan of the dogwood, but I had a question about the berries in winter. Are they, do they fall from the tree or do they stay on the tree all winter? I know it mentions, good for food for the birds, but I'm thinking ahead to, is this going to be a mess on the sidewalk or do they pretty much stay put?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer. I know that the fruit are popular fall and winter food for birds. So whether the birds would eat them all to prevent them on the sidewalk, I'm not sure. I do believe all three trees have some kind of fruit or berries that are attractive to wildlife.
Thank you.
I do have a couple of dogwoods in my yard, but I don't know that they're eddies. And they don't bear any fruit, so I don't know how prevalent that is.
Mayor Pro Tem Akeley?
On the dogwood trees, the one-inch caliber, two questions with that tree. How long does it take for it to, grow to a two-inch caliber? And when we get the one-inch caliber tree, how tall would they be when they're planted? And my worry is that some of our citizens might see these very small trees not like that. And I was also wondering, Councillor Onslow mentioned the white flowering trees. Is it my understanding that eventually those other trees are going to get also pulled out because they're getting towards end of life? So if we were to make a change to one of the tree that is the Douglas Hawthorn, they're pink. Eventually they would all be the same color. Would that be a true statement? I guess I kind of threw three questions out at you, the caliber and,
I believe the selection of future trees would be up to the council, so I can't say for sure what you would choose to do. The smaller caliper trees, I can answer those questions. So a smaller caliper tree is a concern. My understanding is they might be about 5 or 6 feet tall. The biggest concern with the smaller caliber tree is, though, because they're only about an inch, a car door could damage them. Potentially we might have to replace some trees before they got a little larger. So that is definitely a drawback to the smaller caliber trees.
And to grow to a two-inch caliber, we're looking at several years, probably.
I don't believe it's several years, but I really wish I had checked that. Not certain. Do you know, Steve?
I just looked it up, and the Eddie's White Wonder grows approximately 2 feet per year is the annual growth rate for the Eddie's White Wonder dogwood.
Are there any further questions or discussions? I had a question. So you mentioned the availability of the dogwood, and it was a smaller tree to start with than the others. If we didn't get them right now, would we have the option of getting a larger version of the dogwood if we gave it more lead time, or is this just kind of how they come when you're transplanting them?
No, you can get larger caliper if we order. Like, the ideal thing to get the biggest trees is to order in the fall for spring planting. They're very popular landscaping, so they go quickly. So this late, if you didn't pre-order them, they're vanishing into yards and so forth pretty quickly.
And how many trees again are we replacing? I know you said, but I didn't.
21.
21, okay. Great. Any further discussion, Council? All right, I would accept a motion.
So I make a motion that we go ahead with the Eddie's White Wonder dogwood trees.
I would second that.
We have a motion to replace the downtown tree variety with the Eddie's White Wonder dogwood. All those, is there any further discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor and Council, we will also go back to work to look and see if there are nurseries that have the larger caliper. I know that staff has already done a bunch of work trying to find a nursery that has them available at this time of year, but we'll do a little more digging and see what we can find.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is approval of an agreement between the City of Ridgefield and Tesla. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. The item before you this evening is a contract between the City of Ridgefield and the Tesla Corporation. Tesla is seeking to install 12 Tesla superchargers, which are 250 kilowatt hour posts. These also would be joined by two level two charging stations that are Tesla branded, but are more generic in nature, are for other types of vehicles for chargers. These would be installed at the Ridgefield Park and Ride. Tesla approached the City of Ridgefield in November of 2021, seeking to expand their charging infrastructure in this region. Their regional coordinator reached out to us and looked at several sites in the City of Ridgefield and honed in on the Park and Ride due to its proximity to the interstate. The development proposals around it being Clark College, commercial around that, and the city's ownership of the Park and Ride, which did provide kind of an easier agreement framework for both Tesla and the City of Ridgefield. The agreement that's before you has no cost associated with it to the City of Ridgefield. The cost to install the infrastructure, to maintain the infrastructure, and ultimately to remove the infrastructure rests with the Tesla Corporation. The responsibility of the city is to provide the spaces at the Park and Ride, which are the parking spaces on the north side of the Ridgefield Park and Ride. The only complexity for the City of Ridgefield in this is that the Park and Ride was funded with a State Department of Commerce, Washington State Department of Transportation grant in 2013. There were two key components of this grant agreement that we looked into with our city attorney. The first was that for the first 4 years of the agreement, there was a required approval from WashDOT for any changes, amendments, anything you did to that Park and Ride had to go through an approval process with WashDOT. There was also an additional 4 years with some limited approval necessary with WashDOT. Those time frames have both run out. Thus, there is no further requirement to seek WashDOT approval for any amendment to the Park and Ride, so long as the city is maintaining the Park and Ride for its intended purpose, which is to park and ride. So relatively straightforward. And with that, and nothing within this agreement cuts across the grain of that ultimate purpose for the Park and Ride. And in fact, given the investment that the state is making in electrifying the grid and electrifying our transportation infrastructure, it fits very well with what WashDOT is moving forward with. Happy to answer any questions you might have. We also have Zach Whitney from Tesla's online. He's available to answer any questions you might have as well.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Council, is there any discussion or questions at this time? Looking down that way. Anyone?
No. And Mayor, forgive me, there's one aspect of it, as I was looking at Zach's name on there, it reminded me. In the draft before you, it had a date for Tesla to be able to come onto premises in March of 2022. It should have said March of 2023. That's when they would actually be coming onto premises to begin the construction. It would not be this year, it would be next year.
Okay. Do we need to make a note of that in a motion?
I don't believe so, no. Okay. Julie already fixed it within the packet, and so no. It's just something I wanted to make sure you were aware of, though.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Of course.
There any, go ahead, okay. Mayor Pro Tem Akeley.
In the packet on page 37, is it my understanding there's two chargers gonna be that other vehicles like a Toyota could hook up as well?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I had a question for Zach, and that is what do we call it, for lack of a better word, power? Is that a super type charger for the Teslas or no?
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for hosting. I appreciate you taking the time. I believe if you could restate your question once more, I think I missed the second half of it.
The power of the charger?
Yeah. Yeah, the power for the chargers, we set up and coordinate with the local utility our own power. We'll have a separate transformer set for the station, and we will separately meter that and then pay that electricity bill on our own. We will, you know, for the level two chargers, the universal stall, we will set those up and install them at no cost to the city of Ridgefield. But in our agreement, it does state that those will be separately metered and payment for those would be handled by the city.
Well, I do know that there are certain chargers that charge faster. And what are we talking about on the Tesla chargers there?
Yeah, so for the Tesla chargers, these are considered direct current fast chargers. As Steve stated, they are 250 kilowatt hour posts. Best way I can describe it is the fastest charging option out there. Our vehicles normally charge about 200 to 250 miles of range within about 25 to 35 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
I have a question maybe Mr. Stewart could answer. What would be the projected cost for the city for the two universal charges per year approximately?
I don't have that information at the tip of my tongue. It is something that I can certainly provide for you. We have options associated with that. We've been doing the work looking at the charging stations for the library project and bringing those in. We do have some estimates associated with that because we were looking at whether we wanted to charge for people to use that or whether we wanted to provide that as a city service. What we had talked about doing is at the beginning of it having it be free for people to be able to use it and then assess the overall usage to determine the cost associated with it. But I can get you some information on that.
Thank you.
Of course.
Is there any further discussion, Council? I appreciate having, as a Tesla owner, I appreciate having a supercharging station here in Ridgefield. I think our state is kind of moving in this direction. I think it's great for our city to have it. And it kind of offers a different type of economic stimulus around the junction because we'll be encouraging a variety of drivers to stop and, you know, shop our restaurants and services at the junction. So those are just my thoughts. So at this time, I would accept a motion.
I move to approve the agreement between the City of Ridgefield and Tesla as presented.
Is there a second?
I will second it.
We have a motion and a second to approve the Tesla supercharger agreement between Tesla and the City of Ridgefield. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Aye. Right, motion carries. Thank you, Council. The final item of business this evening is resolution number 606, declaring certain property as surplus and authorizing its disposition. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor Lindsay and Council. Back in December, we came to Council to surplus some items at that time. Since then, we've had a couple of other items come up that we would like to dispose of. The two main ones are the two black walnut trees that were cut down at Overlook Park. We've been getting a lot of requests for the wood, and we would have to surplus those before we can entertain any of those offers. The hopes are that we can get a pretty good amount for that to help offset the trees that we'll be replacing at Overlook Park. In addition to that, Council had approved a new vacuum truck for the storm system, which we received earlier this year. And with that, when we talked to Council, we have a jetter trailer that would become obsolete at that time because the truck will do the same thing and actually be more efficient doing that. So we've added that on. The other couple of items that are on here actually are things that had not been turned in time to meet the Council agenda timeline the last time we considered surplus. So we would like to get those on there now so we can get those published and ready for sale. If there's any questions, I'd be ready to answer those.
Council, any questions for Mr. Johnson? Any questions? Seeing no questions, I would accept a motion.
I move to adopt resolution number 606 as presented.
Is there a second?
I second.
Great. We have a motion with a second to approve resolution number 606 as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All right. We again have time on our agenda for public comment. Anyone wishing to address City Council regarding items not specific to subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use raise hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 for raise hand and press star 6 to mute, unmute. Please state your name and limit comments to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone wishing?
Council members, mayor, citizens, I just would like to make a comment about the electric vehicles. I know they're greener, but they make the same damn wear on the road as a gas vehicle. And I want to know how you expect to pay for your streets and the upkeep of those if you don't have a method of assessing them and then giving them free electricity. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to make public comment at this time? Please come to the podium.
It's not free.
My name is Ken Spurlock. if Brenda Howell is there still, she left me a voice message today. Yes, I do want to be on the cemetery board. And then my second comment is
cemetery.
The discussion about the trees, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't have an arborist here really to help Brenda with the whole presentation about trees. I guess we're looking at kind of having a kind of a cluster of flowers down there thing, but if you've ever been to the city events down in Camas, they have these wonderful trees that have arms that extend out over the city, so it's like a canopy. So it has a very magical feeling to it. So I just like, just maybe reconsider and have an arborist, consult with you guys.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to make public comment this evening? Seeing no one in person or remotely, I will close public comment and we will move on to council reports. Councilor Chipman.
So as the liaison for the Ridgefield Art Association, I wanted to report that the Art Association is donating $1,000 to the Ridgefield Art Department, the kids that are going to New York City on a trip. So there's a group of students, probably the performing arts group, that has planned a trip to New York, and they needed another $3,000. And the kids from the school had helped with the Halloween haul, and so the Art Association decided to donate $1,000 to them to help with their trip, which I thought was great. So I wanted to report that out. As far as things that I've been involved in the last 2 weeks, so a lot of us were at the grand opening for the Riverview Bank, which was very nice. We had a filming last week for the State of the City, which we all took part in. A pre-app conference for the Les Schwab Tire, for the new Les Schwab Tire store that's going to be coming in. Yesterday we had a going away party for Brian Cast and city manager briefing. So that was it for me.
Councilor Onslow.
I too was at the Riverview Bank, which was very nice. I'm glad to see they're open and that they've got enough staff to be able to do that. Worked on the grapes at the roundabout and worked on the State of the City. Also went south for a few days and enjoyed 80 degree weather, came back to snow. So it's okay. That's my report.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Akeley.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say about the Riverview Bank is they really do serve the community. They had a pre-event where they had their CEO and their board of directors there, and I got to meet them and talk to a few of them. They have there's 1,000 members here in that live in Ridgefield that bank with them. And so they're really serving their members by building a branch here. The Les Schwab pre-op, you know, some of the details of that, they're going to employ 15 people. And 6 days a week, there'll be between 8 and 12 people on staff there with six bays doing work. So that's exciting. I attended the Neighbors on Watch meeting that's sponsored through the Ridgefield Police, and we discussed hot spots and upcoming events. One of the upcoming events is next Saturday, March 5th, the Color Run. There'll be about 350 people or so running down the new bridge through the port and then back up. It kicks off Youth Arts Month. I attended the Port of Ridgefield Commission meeting yesterday. They had Randy talked about some of those things today, but they are applying for a grant. Actually, let me start here. They're going to grant access to Clark Regional Wastewater, one of our partners. They're going to be putting in a new sewer line, replacing a sewer line between Corwin, Beverage, and I-5. And they did sign an IT3 agreement with Identity Clark County. Currently, that building, one of the buildings over there, they're doing a tenant improvement in it, and some of the employees for the IT3 will be housed there. They're going to be doing a dark fiber feasibility study and applying for a grant for dark fiber. And lastly, they have leased out one of their spaces at Wisdom Ridge to a new business that's, well, they're new to me. I don't know how new they are. It's called BTB Solutions, and they specialize in automated equipment. And they've signed a lease and going to be moving in to Ridgefield. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Coker.
Yeah, I just want to say how excited and proud I am of the community. Tonight's theme has far and away been service organizations and nonprofits. I think in almost every point of business tonight, we had a mention of one such organization or another. Last night, I attended the new member induction for the Lions Club, which, if you aren't aware, is extremely active in the city of Ridgefield. And one thing that stood out to me was last night we inducted 34 new members, which is almost double what it requires to even start a Lions Club. And it was commented that that was probably a record. And, you know, just all the organizations we talked about, even talking about Riverview Bank and the community partner who gave a $5,000 grant to the Ridgefield Main Street. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So just, you know, sincere thanks to everyone on the council and who's here tonight and out in public that are a part of one or multiple of these organizations. And to those coming in, you know, I highly encourage everyone. There's no shortage of organizations to join and get active and help each other out. And that's, you know, clearly what makes this community unique and strong. So thank you to everyone participating.
Thank you, Councilor Coker. Councilor Wells.
Okay. I attend the Riverview grand opening, if you want to call it that. I did talk with a lot of the staff. A lot of the staff lives in Ridgefield, not the city limit proper, but in the outlying area in 98642. Actually, Riverview's CEO lives in Ridgefield. We're very fortunate to have them come to the community, and I think they will be a great community partner. The other thing I did attend was the Les Schwab pre-app for the people in the audience. The Les Schwab pre-app consists of 7 acres below the coffee shop, below Rose Hour's fueling station. They're yet talking about trying to reduce the 7 acres back to 3 or 4, but there is a trail that's required in there, so they have to accommodate that. One of the things, and probably Steve can answer it again, and I asked him once already, was the orientation to the building to 3rd Street. 3rd Street is the road that goes past Rosario's Grill Station, gas station, past the coffee shop, and dead ends down in the woods. They'll be on the corner right behind the coffee shop. But which direction will the service bays face?
The orientation that we saw in the design, the service bays would face to the east.
Okay, I didn't hear what you said, Steve.
The service bays would face to the east.
They would face the east, so they would face the woods.
Correct.
Okay, okay. That was a question I had. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. And I attended many of the same events that the rest of the council was at this week, but the one that stood out to me the most, and as Councillor Coker was pointing out, there's a theme of giving and community engagement, was on Monday evening, I attended the Cowlitz Tribal Foundation benefactor event. And for those of you who do not know, the Cowlitz Tribal Foundation granted $50,000 to the city of Ridgefield for overpass artwork that's going to be up at I-5 and then at our beautiful new overpass that we have that goes down to the waterfront. And it was a wonderful event. The Cowlitz Tribe is great neighbors, great partners with us. And since 2018, it was mentioned, they have given back to the community $18 million. So they're, like I said, great neighbors and great partners. And I know that as a city, we are looking forward to working with them in the future. So with that, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council and the community. Just a few things to add. First of all, we had a great new member training session yesterday evening for members of our Parks Board, Planning Commission, our commissions and boards, all of our advisory boards. The presentation that was created and presented yesterday evening was also sent, I believe, to you all. Yes, and it will be available on our website as well, and so that people can get more information about what it means to be on an advisory board or commission in the city of Ridgefield, the rules and responsibilities, and the rules of the road associated with it. Very much appreciate the time that the new members spent with us yesterday evening. A lot of great questions, good conversation with them. So many thanks to them for that. We had the opportunity to join the Port of Vancouver representative, who happens to be sitting in the room, as well as a couple of other folks today at the Growing Clark County event. There were approximately 130 individuals, primarily real estate industry professionals, mortgage, real estate, finance, builders. This event is something that has gone on for a number of years, and it's an opportunity for them to learn more about what's happening in the community and for us to tell our story about what's going on, what's happening now, and what will be happening in the near future. So good opportunity for us to talk about all the wonderful things that are occurring in Ridgefield. And speaking of wonderful things occurring in Ridgefield, the last thing I'm going to mention, March 1st, next week, is the premiere of the State of the City. The premiere of the State of the City address will be at 5:30 p.m., starting at 5:30 p.m. with a reception and then into the Performing Arts Theater, Shadowbox Theater, at the Ridgefield High School. It will also be live streaming, so if you're not able to attend in person, it will be a Zoom meeting that will also live stream on our social media, and then the video that all of our council members have helped create will be available on our website as well as social media. So looking forward to that event, and thank you so much to our council for all your work in putting that together. And with that, happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Stewart? Ms. Lust, are you with us this evening?
I am. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I would like to share with council that our department is going to have a new administrative assistant starting on March 1st. As you may know, Shalee Johnston, our current admin assistant, has been splitting half-time with Public Works, half-time with Community Development. She's shifting into full-time Public Works. So the individual we have starting on March 1st will be working entirely with Community Development. We're very excited to have someone with us full-time to support all of the many things our department is doing. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Ms. Howell, do you have anything else for us this evening?
Other than welcoming Shelley Johnston full-time to the Public Works Department, I don't have anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnston, do you have anything for us this evening?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Lindsay. One thing, we found out the day after the last council meeting, both Mr. Stewart and I received notification that the city was awarded the 7th award for our comprehensive annual financial report. which is a great honor for the city. And again, with the new staffing, I did mention in the last meeting that we had two new staff members starting. The second one will start on March 1st as well down at City Hall. Her name is Mindy. Please stop by and say hi. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Thank you. Ms. Notneras, do you have anything for us this evening?
I do not have anything this evening. Thank you.
I want to know if you're in a log cabin.
I am in a very secret place. I'm not telling any of you where it is.
Okay. Ms. Parker, do you have anything for us this evening?
Nope, I don't have anything for you this evening, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. And Chief Brooks, do you have anything further for us tonight?
I am not in a log cabin. I am hard at work at my desk, exactly where I'm supposed to be. I will share a couple of things. Your Richfield Police Department, your officers have been doing a great job. In just the past couple of days, we had Officer Gibson use an AED to help somebody whose heart stopped. A couple of days ago on the 19th, Officer Seam used Narcan to help revive somebody who was overdosing on opioids. And then on the 20th, Officer Alex Martinez was looking around for things that aren't supposed to be there and found a vehicle that wasn't supposed to be over by the storage facility, the mini storage, and found a person that was asleep in the car. And that person had lots of drugs, lots of gun parts, some armor piercing ammunition, lots of jiggle keys. Jiggle keys are the things that car prowlers will use to try to get into cars. And so that person was taken into custody and they spent many hours processing evidence after writing a search warrant for the car. This person was actually somebody from Cowlitz County that somehow found their way down to Clark County, but they are now in the Clark County Jail. So that's where we're going to hold on to them. Other than that, the men and women of the Richfield Police Department have been doing a bang up job, and I just cannot brag about them enough. So if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Chief. All right. And with that, we are adjourned. I know.